Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 144 of our year of the Bible, you should immediately think, well, today must be an incredibly important day because 144 is the biblical number 12 times the biblical number 12. 12 times 12, 144. So today is a very important day, I guess. Ending the book of Nehemiah with chapter 11. Nehemiah has worked on the walls of Jerusalem. So the temple is set and the walls are set. Here's the problem that Nehemiah is facing in chapter 11. You got the temple, fantastic. You got the walls, fantastic. You even got houses. Fantastic. What you don't have are people. Because remember, a ton of people are in Babylon. A small number of them came back, small relative to the size of the people in Babylon that stayed in Babylon, slash Persia. Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, which was taken over by the Persian Empire. Anyway, a lot of Judahites stayed there. So a smaller fraction of the people came back. Of the people that came back, some of them were from Jerusalem. But many of them were not. They were from other places in Judah. It was all of Judah that was knocked off by the Babylonians. And if we think of the Holy Lands as approximately the size of New Jersey, then you've got to think, you know, if Trenton is Jerusalem, you've got people from all over, you know, Secaucus and Hohokus and Jersey City, all of whom want to go back to their towns, not to Trenton. I mean, who wants to go to Trenton? Very rarely have I ever felt unsafe in a Dunkin' Donuts, but it's like my natural habitat. But I was in a Trenton Dunkin' Donuts one time and felt like, you know what, I should leave. So that's the problem that they're having in Trenton. They don't have enough people to live there. And so they do something very clever. They tithe the people from the other towns. They drew lots, 10 citizens or 10 families. We draw lots, and of the 10 from some other town, from, you know, Newark, 10 families would draw straws, and one of them would then go move to Trenton. One of them would go move to Jerusalem, and that's how they populated Jerusalem, because they needed it populated. And so chapter 11 names the people that go and the number of people that go and all that. And that's all very nice. And then verse 20 says, the rest of the Israelites with the priests and Levites were all in all the towns of Judah, each on their ancestral property. So like they went back to the homestead, which is a completely natural and understandable thing to do, except that you got to have people in Jerusalem. Chapter 12 is confusing to me because it makes a list of the priests and Levites who returned with Zerubbabel and with Joshua. Remember, that was the first return under Zerubbabel. I assume it's preserved here because, again, the list of priests and Levites, preserving that list is incredibly important and continues to be important. So that list is made there. In the remainder of chapter 12, Nehemiah narrates in the first person the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, and it's really gorgeous. What it reminds me of is sort of the consecration of the church, the consecration of a church, of a new church. You know, you go all out and you process all around, and the choir sings and everything, and that's basically what they did there. And who was in charge of all this? Ezra, the teacher of the law, led the procession. Ezra, the teacher of the law, the priest Ezra, who, you know, Nehemiah was a governor, was a, we might say, secular leader. But Ezra was the teacher of the law. Ezra's the one who, proclaimed the five books of Moses to the people. And so he takes the place of honor, heading the procession. In chapter 13, and they're at the end of which is the end of Nehemiah. It's Nehemiah's final reforms that he does in Jerusalem. He's still getting, he's still getting it to be the place that it needs to be in order to fulfill Israel's vocation. Israel's vocation, I mean, Israel's in sort of the collective sense, Israel's vocation is to be the people of God, right? Through whom all the world would be blessed. And so it's got to be holy people, holy land, holy people, holy land. That's like one of the big themes of Ezra and Nehemiah, holy people and a holy land. The holy people part is what Nehemiah had to get on board with. Apparently, he left for a period of time and went back to Artaxerxes, king of Babylon. It says, remember, he had gotten permission to come, and then he had to go back. But then, when he returned, he found some craziness. He found some crazy stuff going on in the temple. He found out that the priests and Levites were not being supported the way that they were, the way that the Judahites were responsible to do it, and as a result, the temple wasn't being maintained sufficiently. He saw the Sabbath not being observed. Sabbath is one of those rules that very much sets aside a group of people. And so if they're not going to be following the Sabbath, then that's a big deal. So he made a really big deal about it, and really like went to war on Sabbath, including ordered the doors shut of the gates of Jerusalem. Ordered the gates of Jerusalem shut even if there were people outside, because they shouldn't be outside. They should be inside. So it only took once or twice before people knew. Now we better get inside on the Sabbath. And then the final thing was about intermarriage, and he took care of that as well. Now, what is interesting to me? So this is the end of the book of Nehemiah, and at the end of each reform, Nehemiah says, "Remember me for this, my God, and do not blot out what I have done so faithfully for the house of God and its services. Remember me for this also." And I think it's a wonderful, it's like a, you're like entreating God to remember you for some things and not for others. He doesn't specifically say not for others, but if I'm going to have something to recommend me, when you think of Nehemiah saying, when you think of Nehemiah, think of this, right? Like, don't think of the other stuff, which I think is completely understandable and even a little bit charming. But of course, we're whole people, and so it's going to have to be the all of us that is considered and seen and known. And the good news of God in Christ is that the entire person of us, not just the reforming zeal or the is seen and known and loved in Christ. So that's a good thing to remember, because some of us are Nehemiah, but I'm not. I'm one of those others who is the object of reform, not the subject of it. So thus ends Nehemiah. We go on now to the last book in the histories section, as a kind of transition to the wisdom literature. So tomorrow we'll start with the book of Esther or Hadassah. All right, I'll leave it there for tonight, though. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.